familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Many hospitals won't let you take your new baby home without first inspecting an important piece of baby gear, the car seat. A nurse will often check the expiration date and make sure the straps are tight enough to keep baby safe. Today, we're talking all things car seat safety with an expert and moms who have done the research and are here to share their tips and experiences with you. This is Newbies.
He's gorgeous.
It's a girl.
Surprise! The whole family's here!
So when are you having the next one?
It's just poop.
Ready for another?
Wow, you look really tired.
Ready to go back to work?
Yellow poop? Seriously?
Did you sterilize this?
Sex? Now? You've got to be joking.
You should sleep when the baby sleeps.
She doesn't look anything like you.
I thought you already had your baby.
I did.
Babies don't come with instructions, so there's Newbies, helping new moms and new babies through the first year.
Welcome to Newbies, everyone. Newbies is your online, on-the-go support group guiding new mothers through their baby's first year. I'm Natalie Gross. I have a three-year-old boy and a baby girl, and we've got such a great show for you today talking about car seat safety. Now, if you haven't already, be sure to visit our website, that's newmommymedia.com, where you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and that keeps you updated on all the episodes that we release each week. Another great way to stay updated is to hit that subscribe button in your podcast app. And if you're looking for a way to get even more involved with our show, then check out our membership club called Mighty Moms. That's where we chat more about the topics discussed here on the show. And it's also an easy way to learn about our upcoming recordings so that maybe you can join us live. I'd like to introduce our panel of mom guests who are with us today. We have moms Hillary, Amber, and Angela, and we'll also be meeting our expert child passenger safety technician, Greg DeRocher, a little later on in the show. So mamas, thank you so much for being here. I'd love to kick it off with some introductions, telling us a little bit about you, your family, and experience with today's topic as we get started. So let's start with Amber.
Hey, good morning. My name is Amber Brown. I have been married to my husband, Wade. It will be 10 years this October. He is a firefighter and paramedic, and so he kind of got us kicked off into the car seat safety world. But my oldest, Emmy, she will be 7 in May. Rowan is my middle. He's 4. And then our youngest, Jewel, she just turned 2 at the end of January.
Awesome. Amber, thanks so much for being here. Hillary, what about you?
Hi, everyone. My name is Hillary Renner. I am married to Tim. And we have been married 10 years in November, actually. We live in North Georgia right now. We have a 3-year-old whose name is Ellie and a 1-year-old named Lena. I am a nurse. I specialize in trauma. And I've done a lot with car seat safety at some pretty big children's hospitals in the country. So obviously my biggest experience is actually with my girls being a mom and like using them every single day. As long as I want to leave my house. So anyway, yeah, I'm excited to be here and to talk with you all about it.
Great. I love that perspective. Angela, I know you're pretty invested in this topic too, so let's hear it.
Yeah, my name's Angela, and I've been married to my husband, Nick, for 10 years last year. And we have 3 kids. My oldest is almost 9, and then I have a 5-year-old and a almost 1-year-old. I don't know. I'm trying to pretend like he's not almost 1. So yeah, the 3 kids, and I'm also a pediatric nurse, and I am a child passenger safety technician, and I work at a large pediatric hospital in our injury prevention program. So pretty much all I do is car seats all the time.
Well, when you first found out that you were expecting your baby and you were making a baby registry, how much research would you say that you did on car seats? And if so, what specifics were you looking for? I'll let anyone take that who wants to.
I can go. So honestly, I was super overwhelmed when it came to anything, baby, really. Just because there's so much out there. And of course, like, the marketing people are just trying to sell their stuff to you. So you try to figure out what's important and what's important to you, but it's really hard to, like, parse through all of that information. And especially if you're trying to not spend a bajillion dollars on it, like, it can be really hard. So when I was expecting Ellie, I did a ton of research and talked with our car seat safety people at the hospital I was working at the time. And they actually referred me to a website, and it really helped me kind of like narrow it down to what I wanted. The website was called babygearlab.com for anyone who wants to look. And they have, like, you can choose the most important things to you. Like, obviously safety was super important to me. But I also wanted to not spend an arm and a leg. So you can set your price point and compare them, like, you know, comes in different colors and comes with other bases and you can use a stroller with it or, you know, like that kind of thing. And we really needed mobility with our car seat too. We lived in the city at the time. So either we were walking everywhere or we were driving and parking and then still walking a considerable distance. So we needed something that was going to easily, like, clip into strollers and that kind of thing. So I also had heard, like, a lot of other moms talk about, like, how their kids, like, went through 4 or 5 car seats before your baby was happy in one. And I learned a little bit more about that later. But you hear that from people, and when you're first looking, you're like, how am I supposed to know what my baby's going to want? They're not even born yet. So, and yeah, when you hear that, though, it's kind of scary because you just don't want to get the wrong thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think one of the things for us, probably on a negative side, was more about convenience. Because when we had our first, it was going to be we need a car seat that has a base so that it can go in my mom's car, in my mother-in-law's car, in my sister's car, because it was kind of like that. It takes a village with our first. And so safety wasn't a first priority for us. It was figuring out what would work best for our family. But then as she got bigger and we understood more about car seat safety, it became like our first priority. After she grew out of that infancy and going to that next step of, hey, what 5-point do we need? Does it convert into a booster and all of those questions? But at first, yeah, we just were new parents and I had worked with kids a lot, but not in the travel realm. I'd never put a baby in a car seat before or a toddler in a car seat before. And so it wasn't something that I was really focused on. I was more worried about breastfeeding and was worried about, like, how am I going to get my baby to sleep through the night? And is this bassinet okay? And it wasn't something that was really, I guess, that we were thinking about as much, which sounds so crazy now because you're like, oh my gosh, cars, you know, there's so many things that could happen. But I guess I just took it for granted that what's on the market was fine and it didn't matter, you know, kind of what we were getting. But now I know better, so we do better.
Yeah, I think a lot of new parents feel that way, Amber, so don't feel bad. Angela, any thoughts?
Yeah, so when I had my oldest is kind of when I got into, like, the whole car seat safety thing, because I was not a child passenger safety technician until he was almost 2, but he was, like, my, like, launch point. So I had a really good friend who's also a nurse that worked with me, and she had done a lot of research on car seats in college as part of her, like, school project. And so she was, like, started teaching me all these things that you don't really realize as a new mom, about, like, you know, infant seats have bases, but you can use the seat without the base. But sometimes that's not always as convenient, especially if, you know, grandma's doing it, it's not as easy for her. So you might want a base for her car. And then, you know, we were looking at things like, we didn't want it to be super heavy. We wanted it to snap on the stroller that we wanted, that kind of thing. But that was when I really started to realize, you know, I think a lot of people have this misconception that, oh, like, the nurses at the hospital will tell me how to do it. But let me tell you, they don't teach you that stuff in nursing school. Like, I think we had like a 5-minute little paragraph discussion about car seats in our pediatrics class, and that was it. I think my biggest takeaway as a first-time mom was like, don't rely on other people to teach you how to use your seat when the baby comes. Like, you've got to seek that out ahead of time. And so that's something that I really like try to drive home to new families that I'm working with is like, I'm so glad you made an appointment and we're going to go over all this because it's a lot to take in. But yeah, that he was really my diving point for getting into car seats.
Yeah. Well, you started answering my next question, which was, what are some things that you wish you knew about car seats or car seat safety as a new parent? So, Angela, that's a perfect segue there. Any thoughts, anyone else?
I think for us, right before Emmy was born, I guess, I had seen a segment on the Today Show about coats and car seats. And y'all, it scared me. And it showed a baby, it was not a real baby. The little dummy in a puffy coat, and they strapped it in, and it seems like the straps are tight. And then, of course, they do the safety test, and the dummy flies out of the car seat. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so I say that I definitely stand up and tell people, hey, make sure you take your kid out of the coat. It was a big thing with my in-laws and with my parents, like, hey, please take them out of their coat before you strap them in. And I think that was a huge one for me, but then also the tightness of the straps and where the clips are placed. So I'm a family pastor, and I have new families come in with babies in car seats all the time. And when they load them up to take them home, that is where I try to be as nice as I possibly can. And I help them and I'm gonna say, hey, I just want you guys to know they're kind of loose in their seat. And I, you know, if this is loose right here, you know, their shoulder could get out, and hey, this clip needs to be right here lined up with their armpits. And so for me, it was just things that I didn't know early on, again, because I'd never put a baby in a car seat. And that's not one of the things that you get taught in your birthing class, right? You don't they don't teach you the things afterwards. So I think for me, those were the two big things is the coat and then strap placement and tightness.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, I agree with that. And my oldest was born in October, and we walked everywhere. So usually I had her in her car seat clipped into a stroller. So yeah, how to keep her warm in that car seat without a coat on, like my teeny tiny little itty bitty newborn, I was putting like 73 blankets on, which is also not great. But I definitely did. Like, now I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, everybody does that. But the chest clip is super important. And I think also like how to lovingly correct people, on how to like place the chest clip when it's your kid can be really hard. And like talking to them about proper car seat use specifically, I can remember one time with my in-laws, and they were like taking Ellie to a park. And so I was talking to my mother-in-law about, you know, where to clip it and how to secure. And she's like, oh yeah. You put it up around her neck. And I was like, no, please, like, please don't put it around her neck. But yeah, like those kind of perceptions. And, you know, now, like you said, now we know better, so we do better. So like how to communicate that to people well in order to advocate for your own child's safety and for other kids too.
Yeah, I've definitely sent a few passive aggressive text messages like, hey, you guys should watch this video about car seat safety, or hey, look at these pictures of where you're supposed to place everything and clip everything in. We've definitely done that a few times.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mom, so much for sharing your experiences. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, listeners, I'll be talking with our featured expert, Greg DeRocher. So stay tuned.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Today on Newbies, we are talking about car seat safety, and I'm talking with Greg DeRocher now. He's a father of three, a child passenger safety technician, and the founder and CEO of Safe Ride for Kids. Greg also spent more than 15 years as a firefighter and paramedic. So Greg, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So one of the first things we learn about car seat safety is that babies should start out rear facing in the car. Can you explain how that's safer than them facing forward?
Yes. So the reason that rear-facing versus forward-facing is preferred and a safer way to travel is statistically the most common crash is a forward impact because we all drive around going forward, right? So in a crash with that forward impact, the crash energy is moving towards the front of the car and the rear-facing car seat is going to support the baby's head, neck, and spine, which is obviously the central nervous system. So it's going to support that part of the baby's body the best during that initial crash phase of the crash when there's the most energy to be managed and dealt with. And I love hearing all your stories, ladies, about your experience of moving from no kids to now 2 and 3 kids down over the years. My oldest is almost 17 now, and our youngest is almost 10, almost 11. And I've been doing car seats since before I had kids. I got certified as a technician back in 2000 and became an instructor of the car seat program here in Colorado in 2001 and have been on the instructor team here since then. So it's weird to think how long I've been doing this, but what I focus on in class when I'm certifying technicians, I love the crash dynamics piece of it because that's really what this all comes back to. That's why we do this. It's not necessarily for the 99% of the time, 99%+ of the time when we're driving around and nothing is going wrong. We're doing all this with our children and trying to make sure they're properly secured in the car seat for that rare occurrence when there's a crash. And that's when everything matters the most.
So I know we're on a podcast. It's kind of hard to demonstrate things. But, if you could kind of talk us through where the straps should hit on the baby or where they should sit when they're in the car seat.
If you think about, let's start with rear facing. Generally speaking, the strap should always be coming across the shoulders, assuming we're in a 5-point harness. The harnesses are coming across the shoulder, down to through the chest clip, to the buckle in the crotch area, and then down to the hips where it anchors into the car seat again. The strap should be mid-shoulder, and the chest clip should be right at the armpit level. And as one of you were talking about, the tightness of the harness is one of the most important things because in a crash, that's what's going to be holding the child in the car seat. So when they're rear facing, those straps need to be in relation to the child's shoulder. They need to be going through the car seat at or below the child's shoulder. Because if you can imagine a rear facing child in a crash where the vehicle's moving forward, all the crash energy is going to be moving towards the point of impact. So in a frontal impact, when that car is hitting something, the baby is going to want to continue moving forward. And what we want is we want that harness on the shoulder to cradle the shoulder. We don't want it where the baby has to travel a distance in the car seat before that strap engages with their shoulder. Because what we're ultimately trying to do is get that strap on the strongest parts of the body, which is the skeletal system, on the shoulder, chest, hips. Then the tightness of it should be one of the ways we used to say it was snug as a hug. Now we teach the pinch test, which is with the strap going vertical right around the shoulder. You want to try to use your fingers and pinch vertically from top to bottom. And if you are able to grab the strap and pinch the strap, it's too loose. You want it to just bunch up a little bit, but not be able to grab it, not for it to fold into a pinch. And that's how you're going to know if it's tight enough. And when it's tight with the chest clip at the proper position in that crash, the harness is going to stay properly positioned on their body. And that changes a little bit when we go forward facing in the harness, which is, you know, for you and I, the shoulder belt of the vehicle seatbelt leaves our shoulder and goes up to the vehicle, right? So it's going up and away from our shoulder. And in that same forward crash, as we're moving forward, we're leaning into the seatbelt. So the seatbelt locks, it doesn't move, and our body leans into it, right? So we're kind of trying to create that dynamic when our child is forward facing in the 5-point harness. So we want that strap going through the car seat, that where it leaves their shoulder and goes into the shell of the car seat behind them. We want that at or above their shoulder so that they experience that forward impact where they're leaning into the harness and it's not below their shoulder, which would cause it to want to kind of squish their body down, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're shooting for. And I think one of the common things that can cause the harness to be loose is, one, you all already mentioned the coats, the bulky clothes. Really, we don't want any more material under the harness than, you know, a light sweatshirt kind of a thing, kind of material. What we're trying to avoid is the compression factor of the clothing itself, because that's what can cause the harness to be loose. So it may feel tight pre-crash, just with our, you know, what we're pulling on it with our fingers. But in the crash, there's a lot more energy. But the other thing is, start at the hips, assuming most car seats adjust for tightness at the shoulders. So if you start at the hips and kind of pull all the looseness up towards the shoulders and then pull the strap tight, that's going to help make sure that the harness is nice and snug from the hips all the way up through.
Great. You know, we've talked about jackets already. What are some other common no-nos that you see out there?
I think a lot of parents, not to throw dads under the bus, but dads too, kind of look at car seats like, oh yeah, this, I got this, you know, I don't need to read the instructions. It makes sense. I'll figure it out. You know, this is one area where it definitely pays to invest the time in reading the instruction book very carefully and paying attention to, you know, the details for your car seat, because every car seat manufacturer has very specific things that they want the user to do or not do. So really, you get your manual and read it and follow it and study it until you understand it. Because, you know, some car seats come with accessories that may need to be added or removed at various weights and heights of the child. Say for a newborn, your infant carrier might have an insert that needs to be removed at a certain weight or height of the child. And if you didn't read the book and pay attention to that, you may just leave it in there. So with 75 to 90%, it's a wide range, but it's kind of hard to gather statistics across an entire nation of 300 and some odd million people. It's a wide range of misuse, but across the board, we find that, you know, at least 75 to 90% of car seats are not installed according to manufacturer's instructions 100%. So that's a wide range of misuses as well, because one misuse might be something relatively benign that wouldn't necessarily create a fatal outcome in a crash. For example, maybe a minor twist in the harness. Well, technically that's a misuse, and you're not supposed to do it, and you're not using the car seat by manufacturer's instructions. But in a crash, it may or may not have a significant outcome in the of the outcome of the crash. Whereas I've seen people pull into the fire station to get their car seat checked, and the child was sitting in the car seat, but the child wasn't harnessed in the car seat, and the car seat wasn't attached to the vehicle in any way. Obviously, that's a much more significant misuse that would result in a fatal or significantly different outcome than just a twist in the webbing. So I think the one thing, study your owner's manual. Number two, and that actually includes the owner's manual for the car, because some cars have certain locations and equipment in the car that you can use for car seats in this position, but not that position. And I'm referring mostly to the lower anchors, which are the extra straps that come with the car seat so that you don't have to mess with using the vehicle seatbelt system. So study your owner's manuals for your vehicles. Make sure you're putting the kid in an appropriate seat and that you're using that seat, your child's car seat, correctly. That's the most important thing. Other misuses are transitioning from stage to stage too early. So NHTSA puts out a recommendation, which is they call it the four stages of car seat safety. So the first stage is rear facing.
And NHTSA is what, Greg?
Oh, I'm sorry. NHTSA is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Okay.
And that is the federal organization, the federal agency that oversees all car seat activity, pretty much anything that has to do with a car. Rear facing is the first stage. The second stage is forward facing with a 5-point harness. The third stage is seatbelt positioning. And then the fourth stage is just using the vehicle seatbelt system. What we see as a major misuse is parents wanting to transition their child to the next stage too early. And the way that parents often think about it is that it's a graduation. You're graduating to forward facing. You're graduating to a booster seat or a seatbelt positioning device. And the reality is that at each stage, you're actually reducing the level of protection for the child. So you're going from a rear-facing 5-point harness, which is the safest way to travel, to a forward-facing 5-point harness, which is less safe. And the reason it's less safe is, earlier I described how the car seat itself supports the child's head, right? The head, neck, and spine in that forward impact, which is, again, the most common. When we turn that child forward-facing, we now have a harness that's holding their body, but there's nothing holding or restraining their head. And as we all know, children's heads are disproportionately large and heavy to the rest of their body. So in that same forward crash, their neck is doing 100% of the restraining of their big head in that crash. And one of the formulas that we teach parents to start to wrap their heads around how much energy we're talking about is speed times weight. Now, if you're an engineer, we understand that's not the perfect formula for force, but it's a great approximation to get parents thinking about the amount of force that we're dealing with in a car crash. So a 10-pound baby in a 20-mile-per-hour crash. Now, I don't know about you, but I could probably hit 20 miles an hour in the Target parking lot. So 10-pound baby, 20 miles an hour, we're looking at 200 pounds of restraining force. If the baby's head weighs 3 pounds and we're still in that 20-mile-an-hour crash, we're looking at, 60 pounds of force on their neck, and their necks just aren't built for that. So we want to give the babies as much time between birth and moving to forward facing. So the best practice recommendation now is to keep them rear facing as long as possible to the upper weight limits of the seat. And now we're talking about the different kinds of car seats. You know, we had talked about the infant carriers that are only rear facing, and they may have a weight limit of, say, 30, 35 pounds. When we go shopping for the next car seat, we want to shop for one that has a higher rear-facing weight limit so that we can keep those kids rear-facing longer so that they're not going forward until they're, you know, 2-3 years old, and some kids even longer. So yeah, I think transitioning from stage to stage too early is a big issue. And it continues up the spectrum to, you know, booster seats. Kids transitioning from the five-point harness into a seatbelt positioning device, the most common, which is the booster seat, but at Safe Ride for Kids, we actually sell a cool product, which is the Ride Safer Travel Vest, which is a vest that is also a seatbelt positioning device without all the bulk of a car seat. So it's a great product, but that's why I use seatbelt positioning device, because it's not a booster seat, but it accomplishes seatbelt positioning. And most children do not fit or do not pass what's called the five-step test of being able to sit in the vehicle seat without any adjunct equipment, no booster seat, no vest, no seatbelt positioning, nothing, just using the equipment in the car until they're somewhere between 9 and 12 years old. Most statistically is closer to the 12 years old, 11, 12 years old. Just beware that every state has different laws, and all of the laws in every state tend to be the absolute minimum criteria. So we're looking at this spectrum between at the very lowest end is what's legal, and the higher end is best practice. And when you talk to a car seat safety technician, a certified car seat tech, hopefully they're going to be teaching you best practice. So it may be legal in your state to turn your child forward facing at 12 months old, but that is nowhere near the safest thing to do.
Okay. That's a really good reminder. You mentioned parents coming to the fire station to get their car seats checked. I think that's a really important thing to touch on here. If parents have questions about how the buckle's hitting their baby, or if their car seat is in the car correctly, can they go to just any fire station? Can they go to a hospital? Where can you go to get that checked?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. You know, that's a great question. No, you cannot go to any fire station or police station. There's a very small percentage of fire departments who have a certification process for their crews. You may pull into a fire station and you are most likely going to get some well-intentioned firefighter who wants to help you be safer, and they may very well give you some very bad advice if they're not a certified tech. So first and foremost, make sure that the person that's talking to you is a currently certified child passenger safety technician. You're even, you know, encouraged here in Colorado, we encourage parents to ask to see the current certification card for that person, because the certification is every 2 years they need to get recertified. There's a national database through NHTSA for finding a certified car seat tech in your area. And it's an extremely long URL website. So at Safe Ride for Kids, we created a shortcut to that. And that is sr4k.com/CPS tech, T-E-C-H. And the SR4K is the number 4.
Okay.
On that page, we talk a little bit about, you know, what it means to get your car seat checked and stuff, but then there's a link, a button to hit, and you hit that button and it takes you over to the NHTSA website. On that page, it asks you to enter, what are you looking for? You can search by name, you can search by such and such. I recommend city and state as the only two pieces of information. You know, if you have, they ask about, you know, language spoken, and I think certified tech is one of them. So you can put that. But if you put your zip code, that will restrict the search too much. So if you just put city and state, you're going to get a broader result of your entire area as opposed to just your zip code.
Thank you so much for sharing this important information, Greg. We're going to take another quick break and then bring our moms, Hillary, Amber, and Angela back into the conversation.
Sounds good.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Welcome back, mamas. Any thoughts on what we've just heard from Greg regarding this important topic of car seat safety?
I agree. So many good points. I think I see so much of what he was talking about, you know, every day in my work at the hospital. You know, I see our healthy kids, our complex kids. Families call us all the time for car seat checks. I'm also an instructor, so I work with a lot of the local fire departments and things in certification courses and keeping them up to date to serve families of the community as well. And I think he hit so many great points there about, you know, not transitioning too early. It's not a graduation. And, you know, harness fit and all of that, just so many important things that are really the basics, but also are like just really kind of complicated in a way.
You know, and I think if we get the basics right, we're going to save lives, you know, and that's why I got into this, quite frankly, is, you know, I looked at what fire prevention was able to do over the last, you know, 50-100 years in preventing structures from burning down, and in, you know, injury prevention is a great area to focus, because if we can prevent the injuries from happening by properly teaching the parents how to use their car seats, we're going to save lives.
Yeah, I had to laugh a little bit because Ellie is 3.5. She's still rear facing. And I don't think it's ever occurred to her that she could be facing forward.
They don't know any different.
Like, I mean, she's comfy. She just chills in there. But and she's pretty tiny. She's always been on like the smaller side of the percentile. So she is 3.5 and she is well within the weight limits to stay rear facing for like quite a while. And as long as she doesn't care, and I don't think she will because she's my easy one that just doesn't have a lot of opinions about things, but I'm cool with leaving her rear facing because that also means that like I can eat snacks and she can't see me. Although now she knows when we pull through like the Dunkin' line that she should probably ask for a donut. I think something too that Greg mentioned that a lot of people don't know is that, is to not add anything to your car seat that doesn't come with your car seat. I see it so often. Like there's so much cute, like boutique-y like stuff, putting, you know, like sheepskin or whatever on the shoulder belts and those like patterned head supports and like all of that stuff. And actually my sister-in-law, when she had her oldest, the nurses wouldn't let her leave the hospital until her husband went to Target and bought a head support. And when she told me that, I was horrified. I was like, when I found out, I was like, you need to take that out of her seat immediately. Please don't use it. Like, it didn't come with your seat. That means it wasn't, like, crash tested with your seat. So you need to get rid of it. But I just thought it was so interesting that the nurses wouldn't let them leave. I think Angela touched on the fact that, like, the nurses in labor and delivery and mother baby, like, they're not car seat techs.
They're not certified techs.
And hospitals legally will not let them tell you or help you buckle your baby into the seat, because if heaven forbid, like you have an accident on the way home and something went wrong, like they don't want to be held liable. And I know like that sounds really terrible, but it's true. They're not certified technicians. So again, don't add anything to your car seat that didn't come with it because it's not tested that way.
No, and that's great. And I think there are some hospitals, I know there's a couple here in the Denver Metro, that offer the service of having a car seat tech do that inspection, do that education. But, you know, I think, again, you have people are in these professions because they want to help, and their advice might not always be accurate.
Yeah. Well, that's really good to know, because I had no idea to even ask for a certification when I left with my babies from the hospital and they, you know, checked the car seat and everything. So that's such good info for new parents. Are there, I know throughout this conversation, people have been throwing out some good resources. I've been making a list. I'll add those to the show notes. Any other resources, moms, that you found on car seat safety to be particularly helpful that you want to share?
I think it's just stuff like this, like, you know, sharing these things that get the conversation going. I think parents just need to have their interest piqued sometimes, right, before they start in that deep dive of what to be looking for and be aware of. I just think if we can get little things like this out and spread awareness in small ways, it really leads to kind of that aha moment for a lot of people.
I agree 100%.
Thank you so much, Greg, for all of this helpful information. And Hillary, Amber, and Angela, thank you so much for joining us for this episode today. Listeners, you can find out more about Greg and his company at SafeRide4Kids.com. That's SafeRide, the number 4, kids.com. Also, check out NewMommyMedia.com, where we have all of our podcast episodes, plus videos and more.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame, so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Newbies. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals for expecting parents, Parent Savers for moms and dads with toddlers, The Boob Group for moms who give breast milk to their babies, and Twin Talks for parents of multiples. Thanks for listening to Newbies, your go-to source for new moms and new babies.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.